Hey, John.
And Nick.
What are we covering today?
We're going to talk about animal memories.
Oh, crap.
Are you...
This is really embarrassing. I did 4 pages of notes on animal memories, so I guess we're just going to have to talk about that instead.
We're just going to have to milk the facts out of that research for what it's worth, right? This is strange still.
Welcome to Stranger Still, a show where we answer the questions you never
remembered to ask. I'm John Vegan.
And I'm Nick Wood. What are we discussing today, my dude?
We're going to talk about animals.
And?
Their memories. We're going to interview them. We're going to ask them what their favorite memories are.
Yep, we're going out on the street. We've got a road mic. We're just going to do some guerrilla reporting.
Sometimes literally, if we go to the zoo.
That joke was on purpose.
Dogs, squirrels, snails, they all got memories.
Yeah. Do they? That's what we're going to discuss today. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, you listening, you know what you're not doing right now? You're not joining our Facebook group.
Yeah.
And you're not leaving us a review on iTunes.
What gives?
And you're not supporting us on Patreon.com/strangerstill.
Why are they even listening then?
I don't know. So, since you're not doing that, you should do one of those 3 things.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's called guilt. It's going to set into your memories.
Sorry, I didn't say it in the right accent then. You know what you're not doing right now? You're not joining a Facebook group. No. That's your impression.
Oh, that's your Italian?
I don't want to.
You don't offend my people?
Right. I don't want to.
A little cultural appropriation?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Maybe we should just change the subject by talking about our subject today.
Oof, yeah. Like a 5-subject notebook, turn in the page.
What?
It's a metaphor.
Okay.
For notebooks.
It's beyond me. I saw The Notebook, the movie.
It's a good movie. They got memories in that movie.
Wow.
You know, humans are animals, too.
The animals are innocent.
So you ever think about that?
Yes.
Sometimes I get deep, bro.
We won't go there. So this topic came from you this week.
Mm-hmm.
You were on Reddit, which makes me really proud of you.
Thank you.
And you came across an article on Today I Learned that said, "Today I learned tigers can and will take revenge on those who have wronged them."
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the most vengeful animals on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is hilarious. It's not hilarious, but it's hilarious.
They're vicious,
bloodthirsty
beasts.
And they hold grudges. But this got us thinking about...
their grudges!
Nice. I get it. Because Tony the Tiger is the serial mascot, and his catchphrases, they're great.
Jokes are always funny when you explain them.
Yeah. So this got us both thinking about, like, different things we've always heard. Like, elephants never forget, or goldfish have horrible memory of, like, 3 seconds or whatever. And I did some more digging to see if I could find, like, other cool animal stories in regards to memory and all that. And turns out we can make a whole episode about it.
Heck yeah!
And this is such a cool episode. Because there's actually some science to it, and then there's a bunch of, like, anecdotal stories. So we're going to start with the science, and we'll get to some really cute stories about animals and their memory.
And maybe some sad ones.
And maybe some sad ones, if you're lucky.
Break out the tissues.
You gotta act nice, otherwise Santa's not going to bring you some sad stories.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, ho, ho! Remember your cat that passed away?
Remember Sprinkles? He got run over by a car.
Oh.
It was a blue RAV4. Remember that afternoon?
Oh, it's excruciating. It took hours.
You were on the side of the road and blood splattered all over your face and shoes.
Are those cookies gluten-free?
My doctor told me to cut down on the milk. Remember how... what I
remember
said
how Bessie used
name?
To give you milk?
Yeah, I was going to say. Remember how much Sprinkles like drinking milk? Your cat that died, they got run over by a RAV4.
Oh, Santa. Oh, why are you so sad? Santa.
Oh, this is a train, right? So if we're going to begin anywhere, let's talk about how humans form memories. Do you know how humans form memories?
Yeah, we have like temp files in our brains.
Uh-huh.
And then we decide if we want to make them permanent while we go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's real, right?
No.
Yeah, you have like a temporary memory.
Actually,
like I picked up this, I'm taking a sip of my Diet Coke.
Uh-huh.
I remember drinking that Diet Coke.
Yeah, but
I can remember in 30 years that I drank that Diet Coke.
Maybe.
Now I'm going to, because this is recorded on a podcast.
That's you'll be like 30 formed. Years from now, you'll be like, wait, I drank a Diet Coke during that episode?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or it's in my temporary memories right now, yeah. And I'll be able to put it into my permanent.
We've talked about it too long now, so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Now, hold on a sec. Now, let me take a sip of this Diet Coke, and I want you to stab me in the hand.
Okay.
Do permanent damage, okay? Now, I'm never going to forget.
Yeah. That scar is there forever. It's like that movie, The Butterfly Effect. Don't know why my brain went there. There's that scene where he stabs himself.
Yeah, that movie's about memories, which we also form. Tell me how.
Yes. So there are two like big ways that humans form memories. There's long-term memory and short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Hope I'm not breaking any new ground here. Hope no one's listening going like, whoa! There's short-term memory is like also referred to as working memory. It lasts like 30 seconds or so. It's just there to, I don't know, remember why you went from one room to another, because you needed the scissors,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Or you learned that dude's name and you only needed to know it for 30 seconds. That happens to me all the time. Sorry, Greg. Didn't mean to call you Bart. Don't know where that came from.
Well, now it's permanent, so.
Yeah, so now I'm always going to call you Bart. It's not your name. Not even close. Don't know anyone named Bart. Does
except
anyone
you,
actually
Bart?
Name their kid Bart?
Bartholomew's a, like a last name too, right?
Everything's a last name. But then there's long-term memory, and there's a lot of ideas on how long-term memory breaks out. The one we're going to be discussing today is episodic memories, and this allows us to remember things pertaining to a certain event or a place or a time.
Right.
It's like who, what, when, where, why.
Yeah, we sort them by season. Those are episodes.
I don't know what to do with that joke.
Yes.
I'm just going to let it sit there.
Season 2, when I learned how to walk.
No, I get it. I just don't know what to do with it.
Right.
I don't know what to do with
it. I'm helping you out here. I'm handing them over. I got all the goofs and gaffs on a platter.
I can't really volley them back, though.
That's fine. It's a one-man show.
So, episodic memory will help us remember, like, where we parked our car 5 hours ago. Or who we went out to dinner with 5 days ago. It's, in reading about it, it is long-term memory, but I kind of think of it as somewhere in between short-term and long-term, because it might be like, yeah, I parked my car there 5 hours ago, but that's not going to stick with you 30 years from now, like
yeah.
Most things with long-term memory. But then there are also things that will stick with you, like...
I took my car out for dinner.
Yeah, I took my car out for dinner. Took my RAV4 out for dinner.
Yeah.
Everyone at Applebee's was very confused.
Boneless wings are in par, though.
Yes.
They're fine.
Yeah. So the unique thing about episodic memory, like I said, it uses who, what, when, where, why, those kinds of details to, quote, travel back is what I always came across. Travel back to the exact moment in your mind so you can go back and visualize where you were, who you were with, when it was, and all that stuff. All these context clues around it.
Mm-hmm.
For most animals, it's believed that they don't have an episodic memory. They have short-term memory, they have long-term memory, but they don't have episodic memory. Instead, they have associative memory. So,
and when you say animals, mm-hmm. You mean non-humans?
I mean non-humans. That was clarified a lot in a lot of these articles.
Is that, that's everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's dolphins.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
So there's a bunch of studies done on this, and it's really hard to get to the bottom of animal memories because as a National Geographic article grimly pointed out, quote, you can't exactly ask the animals where they were and what they were doing when Bambi's mother was shot. That's a good way to start out your article.
Yeah. National Bambi's Geographic. A cartoon character, though.
Well, it's the shot heard around the animal kingdom. So they've done a number of studies to try to get the best results that they can, but we can't just, like, ask them, like, yo, sea lion, do you remember that dude you talked to? Do you remember Greg? And the sea lion's like,
starts blushing.
I thought his name was Bart!
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I'm picking on Bart, but they found on average, they did, like, a study on 25 species, spanning from, like, dolphins to bees to chimpanzees, you name it, birds... I don't know, like all your favorites. Name your favorite animal.
Pterodactyl.
That's not real.
What?
Dinosaurs aren't real.
Oh, right. I forgot our episode on dinosaurs. a jaguar.
Probably not a jaguar. That's a little bit more exotic.
Okay. Tardigrade. A dog, Nick.
Yeah, yep. They did a dog. So they found on average across these 25 animals that they had, on average, a memory of 27 seconds. I assume that that's short-term memory. They never really made a distinction between short-term and long-term memory. But we're going to assume that that is short-term memory.
Okay. But are they like bad scientists, though? Because I'll take my toy that has no scent.
Yep.
And I'll put it in a cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And Silas will wait till I leave the room and 5 minutes later go get it.
Yeah.
That's longer than 27 seconds.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
There's... So... it's complicated.
Silas is a dog. He's a husky.
Yes.
For the record.
It gets complicated because... A lot of these tests were like, we'll train them to point at numbers or pick out shapes, and we'll use food to do that. And then, like, you'd show them the shape of the number, and then you'd cover it up, and then after 27 seconds on average, they would forget where those items were. But there is associative memory, which is a little bit more abstract than episodic memory. Because you talk about Silas, he knows where his toys are. You hear stories all the time about, like, Coco, the gorilla that learned sign language. They learned that their handler had died, and they started signing sad, bad, sad, bad, bad, sad, bad, sad, bad, bad, sad.
Yeah.
Or swallows. There is a certain type of swallows that they fly away on the onset of summer, come back a year later to the same nest that they had the year prior. Like, how do they remember where those nests are?
Yeah.
So we're just under the assumption, and by we I mean scientists, that animals work off of associative memories, which when I describe it, it's going to sound like episodic memories, but the actual event of an action is lost, or the people you were with is lost. So with episodic, we can say Michael stabbed me in the arm at Target the other day.
Right.
If you did that to an animal, the animal would be like, when I was around this Target area, I got stabbed in the arm once. So they don't, like, the whole context of the situation is lost, and they have this more abstract idea of danger.
Yeah, like, they don't remember that they're diabetic and it was an EpiPen he was stabbing you with.
That's Memento.
But he was poorly trained.
That's Memento.
Oh.
Spoilers. If you haven't seen Memento yet, you're probably never going to see it. So go see it. You're welcome.
Now that we spoiled it. But I was smooching a lady.
Oh.
So I didn't really see it.
Do you remember her name?
Yeah, I do.
Get it? Memory jokes. It wasn't really a joke. It was just kind of a question, wasn't it? So... The thing I'm trying to say is there are certain things like food, shelter, and safety that animals will gain a memory for, but more of an abstract idea. So if you feed ducks at the same location at a park every single day, they're going to have this abstract idea. If I go here, I'm going to get food.
Yeah.
Or with the swallows, they found a safe place to make a nest. So a year later, they'll be like, if I go here, I have a safe place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Or with, what was the last one I said? Safety. So there's this interesting story about a herd of cattle that would not go across this like set of train tracks because many years prior, a cow started crossing the railroad and got hit by the train.
Oof.
So they would not go across that train track. So safety. And there's the scrub jays. They do a lot of studies on scrub jays. Because they cache food away and they remember where it is days later. So again, going back to food, yeah. So there's all of these more we have. Like, and we have.
I knew
to assume
a scrub named Jay in high school. I was always smoking outside.
I don't want no scrubs.
Right.
A scrub is a bird. Can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side on my best friend's ride. Trying to holler at me.
Yeah.
Can you make like a bird version of that for me? I think we already did it.
Featuring a seagull.
Yeah. So just to recap, just an abstract idea is left behind. All of the people and places and things are usually lost unless it pertains to food safety or shelter. Or, I guess, fun. If it comes to a toy, you're going to remember that toy is.
Or love, Nick.
Or love, yeah.
Love.
An affection. Yeah.
I kiss Wally Winkle right between his eyes every day because his eyes are pretty far apart.
Yeah.
He remembers that.
He's really cute, though. He's kind of derpy looking, but he's really cute.
Yeah.
So when it comes to memory, I just got a few facts for you. It's believed that dolphins have the best memory in the animal kingdom being able to recognize a dolphin's call from, like, dolphins that they haven't seen in 20 years. So they took all these dolphins. I don't know how they separated them for 20 years. And then they, like, played a call back to them, like, hey, Gerald, what's up?
Oh, man.
Cats apparently have, like, one of the longest short-term memories. It's around 10 minutes. Remember, our short-term memory is around 30 seconds. So I don't know what they do with that. Probably try to take over the world, because that's what cats do. And a chimpanzee's short-term memory is 20 seconds. So we're not too far off from those guys.
Take that, chimps.
Yeah, we got 10 seconds on you, jerks.
So when you say cats,
yeah,
does that extend to, like, lions, tigers, and bears? Oh my.
Bears aren't cats.
They're a type of cat.
They're not even close.
They're in the cat family.
They're not even in, they're not even the same.
They're in the same genus, I'd say.
Mammal.
There you go. You go back far enough, you get there.
So the reason I give all that context is because...
But hold on.
Yep.
That was a real question. Jaguars and Black Panthers and all that stuff, they have 10-minute short-term? Or is it just house cats?
I think it's all cats.
Yeah. Because if I have a lion...
Do you have a lion?
And he's outside, like, pick a card. He's going to be really good at tricks. I'm not. Yeah. Or if he's got my house key and he hides it in a box, and I got 30 seconds to remember what it
he's
is.
He's got 10.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
Want to play a game.
Yeah.
I hid your keys somewhere in your lawn. Find them.
You have 30 seconds before you forget, you inferior human.
Now, the reason that I give all that context on how animal memory works is because they're... You can't just assume that, like, that your dog... So one of our Facebook questions is, like... I forget exactly what it was. We'll read it at the end. But it was like, does my dog remember me stepping on their foot? Because I feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
They don't.
Oh,
yeah.
Michaela, spoilers.
Oof. Saved again.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that. Like, they're not going to remember that, but the long-term stuff that relates to, like, companionship, like, if I hang out with this human, they're going to keep me safe and feed me.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff is...
But, alternatively, let's say you step on your dog's foot every day, it becomes associated memory.
Yeah.
And then they're scared of feet.
Yeah, that's a thing that I read about associative memory as well, is that a lot of it can be done through conditioning, which shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah.
Like Pavlov's dog and all that stuff, they learned to respond to a bell. So that's learning is a type of memory. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get into some of these fun stories.
Okay.
Not all of them are fun.
Because we're going to get a little happy and chipper.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I did want to say a little sad thing real quick.
Yeah.
That one of the things that I worried about, because I have a dog named One-Eyed JJ.
Yeah.
Right? One-Eyed Jakey.
Yep.
And he used to be able to see,
mm-hmm.
and then he got stepped on his head, and the pressure popped out his eye.
Which is gross.
Tore his optical nerve, and now he's blind.
Right? Want a barf all over you?
Yeah. He's really happy, let me say that. Let me say, like, he gets around fine. He still picks on the cats. He's still a little bully.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's a happy little guy. But the one thing that that bothered me the most when it first happened was I wondered if he remembered what I looked like.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't.
And I was like,
is that really? What you said?
Yeah, I cried over it because it was like,
start crying now.
Yeah,
remember your tear jar?
Please
put him in there.
But now I've realized that, like, that's only a quarter of his world. Yeah. He knows what I smell like. He knows what I sound like.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I can't remember if we'll get into this, but I don't think I put notes in here. There's animals that most animals rely on, like, scent and stuff to find their way home. It's not in here. Homing pigeons use, like, we don't know exactly what they use, but the leading theory right now is that they're tuned into, like, a electromagnet frequency mm-hmm. that they use to find their way home.
Yeah. Or chemtrails.
Or chemtrails. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah. It's because the Earth's flat, though. That's why they can find so easily.
So I got 5 little anecdotes. There's a million of them out there. These are my favorites. I tried to go off of the things that we always hear, like elephants never forget goldfish and all that. I didn't find any cool
elephants never forget goldfish, guys.
Apparently I love elephants. I got 2 stories about elephants in here. The first one is comes from Scientific American. And it turns out that elephants never do forget. There was an elephant sanctuary in Tennessee, of all places. I don't know why Tennessee. Maybe the weather's good there. I don't know. Someone from Tennessee, let us know if your state would be good for elephants.
Yeah.
Apparently it is. There's a sanctuary there. I just need to shut up. It housed an elephant named Jenny. And one day, they were introducing a new elephant to the sanctuary named Shirley. And Jenny was supposedly, like, all nervous at first until Shirley approached Jenny and started, quote, bellowing, which I assume is... And that's cute. And then Jenny started doing it too, and they started to check out each other's trunks and started using the trunks to check out each other's scars, like they knew the scars were there already. And one of the people at the sanctuary started doing some digging because they're like, that's weird, and found out that they had been in the Carson and Barnes circus for just a few months, 23 years previous to that. Whoa. And they remembered each other.
Jeez.
Isn't that crazy? The article went on to talk about why scientists think this is, and they think that that type of recognition is part of their herd mentality and part of their survival, and that's why they're able to remember each other so much. Isn't that cute?
That's really cute, yeah.
I got another cute story. This one's kind of short. It's a story about a border collie named Chaser. Can you take a guess at what Chaser's good at?
Running? Drinking shots and then chasing them with oranges?
Fireball. So Chaser has the largest tested memory of any non-human animal. This dog was trained by a retired psychologist and was able to remember and retrieve 1,022 toys by name.
What?
That's a lot. I don't even know if I could do that.
1,022.
So they're like, go get a stick, and then run off and go get a stick. Go get your dolly, and run off and go get their dolly. Go get me a ball.
Oh my God. Ball.
1,022 times.
Go get me a female to male connector auxiliary cable. And then they're like, nope, sorry, 1,023.
That might... The interesting thing, though, there's one sentence on here that said that Chaser can learn new words by inferential reasoning by exclusion, which means that they can figure out the name of a new object by looking around and being like, okay, slice pizza is not that ball, it's not that rope, it's not that box, it must be this triangular thing right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and there must be something weird about border collies, because on the see also part of Chaser's Wikipedia page, there was one that learned 400 words and another that learned 200 words. Apparently, I don't know if it's like border collies are borderline genius or...
They say the same thing about huskies, and like, Silas is really smart and scary sometimes. Like, he knows, he'll figure out how to like, if he had thumbs, he could open my doors and stuff.
Yeah.
He'll figure out how to like, get out and where to dig and how to jump fences even after I fix them, how to disable them.
Jerk. I don't know. Dogs are smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever. There is this little rodent called the Agouti. Agouti? Agouti. The guy on BBC said it, and I can't remember. It's from BBC.
He probably said it wrong if he's from BBC.
Yeah, an idiot.
Like a non-American.
Agouti. Like that. So this is a little bit of a shift in direction because this guy's...
Sorry, Jason.
So we're going to shift directions because this rodent is not smart at all. It's really funny. This Agouti loves Brazil nuts. They live in South America. Do you know about Brazil nuts? Because I didn't going into this. Apparently, they're like super hard to open.
Yeah.
And any animal or human has to use a tool to open it. You can't just like use your hands and open it.
Yeah, I've eaten one.
Are they good?
They're like little like triangular round guys, right? With like a point on one end.
Yeah, they're kind of weird looking.
And they're ridiculously hard to open. Like,
yeah.
They're kind of like giant acorns.
Yeah. Apparently, the Agouti is the only animal that can open them without a tool, and they do it by gnawing on it with, like, these rodent teeth. And my favorite thing about these guys, though, is they love the seeds inside, so they love to save the seeds for later, so they'll bury them underground, but their memory is so bad they don't remember where they buried them, so then they incidentally become Brazil nut farmers because they bury all these seeds and then all these Brazil nut trees grow.
Oh, man. Jesus, you got him. He made these little guys trick themselves.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? Jesus didn't make these guys.
Oh.
Anyway, we want to talk about elephants again?
Yeah.
This one comes from Nova, the PBS show. There's not a lot to it, but it's pretty fascinating. I'll just read this paragraph from their article. It says, a researcher once played a recording of an elephant who died. The sound was coming from a speaker hidden in the thicket. The family went wild calling, looking all around. The dead elephant's daughter called for days afterwards. The researchers never did such a thing again.
Yeah, they didn't. Those jerks. Are you kidding me?
Isn't that awful?
I've like cried forever.
I know. So elephants have a pretty intense grieving process.
So someone said, "Hey, let's just see what happens."
Yeah.
And then, Dad, I thought you were dead, Dad. And
I'm back from the dead. Sorry.
Ghost elephant?
Yeah. I didn't know if that came through. I've also heard things about, like, cows and stuff. Once they'll, like, become friends with other cows, and when that cow dies, they'll grieve for days and days.
Yeah, and people eat them, Nick.
Animals are innocent. Did you hear that?
I've heard that.
So, tigers. Oh, my. Let's end on tigers, where we began.
Okay. So, there's a baby tiger.
Uh-huh.
And somebody punched his dad, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
37 years later.
Yeah. He became a superhero named Daredevil.
Well, you know, he learned how to punch.
Yeah.
He grew a thumb.
Yep.
And he punched that scientist.
Do you have to have a thumb
right
to punch?
In the noggin. You can't punch that thumb.
Look, I'm doing it right now.
That's a hit.
What classifies a punch?
Gotta have a thumb. You ever get punched by an animal? Or do you get clawed by an animal?
Neither.
How many times have you heard of a bear attack where the bear punched him real hard? Doesn't happen. Only humans can punch because only humans have thumbs.
I want that to be an Onion article more than you know. Man punched by bear.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I guess chimpanzees can punch, but what's the difference between chimpanzees and humans?
A lot.
Or what's the similarities? We both have thumbs.
They have 10 seconds less of short-term memory than us.
That's another thing. But I want you to name another animal that can punch besides chimps and humans.
Kangaroos.
You can't get punched by a kangaroo.
Yeah, you can.
It's impossible.
Google it.
They don't have thumbs.
Can we talk about tigers now?
Sure.
So, we all remember that video of that, I think it was a lion, that some dude raised the lion and they put him in a sanctuary and then he shows up and the lion hugs him through the cage and it's really cute.
Yeah.
What if I told you there's a cat out there that can use its memory for evil?
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a tiger. I already said that. I was going to make a joke about how it's just like your normal household cat, but I kind of already ruined the surprise. So this is the article that you originally found. It's an incredible story from NPR. They're talking about a book. Crap, I don't have the name of the book here. Let me grab the name of the book so I can give credit where credit is due. Uno Momentum. While I'm looking this up, go look up Animals Are Innocent on YouTube. You will be disappointed. So this book is called The Tiger, A True Story of Vengeance and Survival by John Violant.
Hmm.
V-A-I-L-L-A-N-T. I didn't say that out loud before, so I never put that together.
Usually named after your surname. Your surname is usually what your family practiced. Right. Yeah, okay.
Violence. No, it's this awesome story. So we're going to go back to Russia in 1997.
Okay.
If you will with me. It's very cold. There's this man out in the wild named Vladimir Markov, and he comes across a tiger. And I think we should name this tiger before we move on, because I'm going to refer to him a lot. So give him a name for me.
Claude.
That's two on the nose.
Okay, well, he's Russian, right?
Yeah.
What's the Russian name? Boris.
Boris. Boris the tiger. Boris the tiger. Creepy, creepy. Never mind. So Boris is in the middle of eating one of his kills when Vladimir shows up, shoots and injures the tiger, and Boris escapes, and Vladimir takes part of what remains of Boris's kill.
Why?
Because he's a D-bag.
And he likes to eat tiger food?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see what it was, but it was probably like a rabbit or something.
Like a hamburger and fries.
Yeah.
Like a two-piece. What year was it?
1997.
Okay, so it was probably like the Mulan toys were just out. Might have been like a kid's meal.
Oh.
Something like that.
Make a man.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was missing the Mushu toy, and that was the last one that was left, and the tiger had it.
Mm-hmm. He really wanted it. You got to complete the collection. So for the next 12 to 48 hours, kind of a big window, but the tiger stalked Vladimir and systematically took revenge on him. So first, he tracked Vladimir sent back to his cabin. So Vladimir had a cabin in the woods. Boris was like, ah, he lives here. Next, the tiger started destroying anything he found with Vladimir sent on it.
Yeah.
So he'd find like a log and he'd just be like, ah, 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 or like, I don't know, a shirt. He'd be like, ah, 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 you know. Yeah. Boris then waited by the front door, waited for Vladimir to return home, where he then attacks and kills Vladimir, drags him to a nearby bush, and ate part of him.
Okay. Well, that took a turn. It's really dark.
It is dark. But the author in this article says that the, quote, the eating may have been secondary. I think he killed him because he had a bone to pick. So if you think about it, he took 48 hours maximum, anywhere between 12 and 48 hours, just to stalk Vladimir.
Yeah, jeez. Vladimir just would have waited to that 49th hour. The tiger would have got over it.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works. What I'm trying to say is that Boris was like, if Boris wanted to kill Vladimir, he could have just been like, you're dead, because I'm a tiger, and I weigh 500 pounds.
But instead, he's like, you've got a gun right now, I'm going to wait.
No, he's more like, come here, a-hole. You wrong me, I'm going to wrong you.
I'm going to ruin your sweaters, and then and eat you, but first I'm going to ruin your logs and sweaters.
But he didn't ruin the sweaters in the way you thought he would.
No.
He stretched them out.
Stretched them out way too big.
Yeah.
We're not made for his body.
No. So, that's all I got on animal memory. I just wanted to share some cool stories with you guys.
Yeah.
Did that work out? I hope it did.
I don't remember.
Should we take a break and then answer some Facebook questions?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. John.
Nick.
Where can
StrangerStillShow.com.
And?
Our Facebook group, you search Stranger Still. Or if you want to be a long, boring typer, facebook.com/group/
You forgot http://www.facebook.com/group/strangerstill.
And show? Twitter.
I don't know. And Twitter at Stranger Still. And if you want to support our show, you can go to Stranger Still. Wait, patreon.com/strangerstill is what I meant to say.
Yep.
I totally said it.
We could use that to you get behind paywalls. We could use it to make our equipment better. And we could use it to make you better. By making you smarter.
We're going to make you smarter. We got a bunch of Facebook questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did this time, and I think maybe we'll continue with this trend until I'm bored of it, is we had our listeners vote on what they wanted to hear next.
Yeah.
This topic won by an overwhelming majority.
Yep. And which, no feelings hurt, I did come up with the top three.
Yeah. Those started from texts back and forth from each other.
Yep.
So if you want to get in on voting on what you want to hear next, go to our Facebook group and join.
Yeah. Me and Nick usually switch it up. He'll come up with something, I'll come up with something, and then maybe we'll just add all of them up there and see if you guys want to choose what we're going to... Choose your own adventure, if you will.
Yeah. Choose your own podcast venture. So then I asked all of our lovely listeners for questions that they wanted answered on the show. So I figured we can go back and forth, answer as many as we can.
I'll let you start.
Yeah, the first one's from Michelle. We kind of answered this one. She wanted to know which animal has the smallest memory span. I think the one I came across was chimpanzees. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
So we never even talked about goldfish.
Yeah. Couldn't find a lot on goldfish. They don't have a short memory span. They fall into that 27-second memory span, I believe.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's kind of just like thinking of an animal, they probably have 27-second short-term memory.
Is that easier than saying 30 or what?
Yeah, it's more exact, so.
Okay.
What's next on our list?
Next is from Tammy. Can an animal remember owners that have died, and for how long?
Yes. So I did come across a couple articles, and I think you saw this too, where like cows or something will remember for 30 years.
Three.
30 is a long time.
30 is a long time, but there was actually a episode.
Yeah.
My brother, and you.
Yeah.
And they talked about how a cow has a 3-year memory span.
Uh-huh.
So you can name a cow, it'll respond to its name.
Yeah.
But 4 years later, maybe not.
You gotta wait till that fourth year. That's right. That's their joke. But yeah, the animals can remember owners' faces. It goes back to that whole survival thing. With any sort of memory, the less you use it, the more you're gonna forget. I couldn't come across any time frames. I did try to look into that, but, there wasn't an exact time frame.
So I go up to Wally every day and say, look at me! Look at me! This is what I look like!
Our next one comes from Michael. God, I said it again. Michaela.
Mm-hmm.
Does my dog remember that time I stepped on her paw, and is she still mad about it? Nah, you said, oh my god, the drama. I'm on the edge of my seat. No, your dog definitely doesn't remember that. Unless, like, they had an associative memory to, like, the shoes you were wearing when you stepped on their paw.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. And then every time they see that shoe, they're like, oh, she's gonna step
on
me.
So another anecdote with that is Wally's afraid of brooms.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to get dogs used to things that are scary when they're puppies.
Mm-hmm.
But some dogs are really weird, and they just get scared of stuff when they're older,
because
you don't have a chance to introduce them to every object.
Yeah.
But
here's
now Wally associates
with razor.
It.
Here's my toothbrush.
Yep.
Here's doorknob. Here's the other doorknob.
I forgot to show him SDTVs. He's not afraid of HDTVs. Yeah, so he gets scared of the broom and take it out, but it could be for shoes too. But probably not. But again, we mentioned earlier, if you step on her paw every day, probably associated. Because there's dogs that do have trauma, you know, and they get scared of certain things. You have to be careful with them.
Mm-hmm. You want to read our next one from Helen? Actually,
yeah.
We can say her full name.
Yeah.
Because she's on the Falling in Love Montage podcast.
Uh-huh.
Which you should go listen to.
Helen Urbs Lestar.
Thank you. She said, is it true about elephants?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what did I say, Nick?
Well, is it true about elephants? Yes, it is true. Whatever you're asking, it is true. Now, you say, you mean memory, right? Not that they're actually factually bummed about their association with Republicans.
Zinger.
Yes, yes. They truly never forget.
And though, you know, it's just very topical that I mentioned that because it was a Republican regime and a Republican president that decided that they can hunt elephants again.
Yep. Not okay by me. I love elephants.
They're the best.
Don't hunt them, please. Thank you. Jason had a bunch of questions on here. You want to know if there's any other creatures that were more vengeful? I didn't come across any. I'm sure there are. Have you ever met a normal cat?
No. But 10 minutes is really long. Really long little memories.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it has to do with that, but also with predatory animals. So if you could think of an intelligent predator.
Yeah.
Are sharks intelligent or are they just like...
I don't think they're that intelligent.
They're probably just strong and fast. And
yeah, one of the smartest animals is dolphins. I forgot to talk about that.
Oh, they're definitely vengeful. Dolphins will, like, pee in your pudding, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them.
They'll do it real quick.
Yeah. What's next on our list?
Next is Jason again. He says, how much of animal behavior is thought to be due to memory of observing their peers and parents? And how much is instinctual biology? So For example, creatures that return to the same spawning grounds year after year.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between the two, because I did come across one article that thought a lot of the behavior was biological. Then they did some studies and found out it was associative. So it's a little broad, but I think it's either one of the two. Like turtles, for example, they don't have any... other peers to learn this from. When they're born, they go out to the sea. Like, they don't learn that from anyone, so that is in their biology. But when it comes to, I'm trying to think of any of the other examples, like the swallows that I talked about before, that could be learned from their parents. They fly back to these nests with their parents and learn that associated memory from that.
Yeah, so then Justin has a follow-up question for that.
Yep.
What role does the memory of individuals play in the evolution of natural instinct in a species? So if the swallow is teaching their kids, don't do drugs, great. And then, you know, you get that one swallow that, like, their parents, you know, flew into the wrong tiger's den and got mauled by Boris. And then their kids grow up doing drugs and thinking it's all good. You got some high birds in your backyard, you know?
Well, I mean, to actually answer your question, Justin, we've kind of talked about this before, how even humans have an evolutionary memory. We're more keyed to point out snakes in the environment and stuff like that, just because...
And now that we've evolved...
Guns now.
To guns. Yeah. Like, guns will show up faster for us than snakes.
Yeah, so... It's interesting to think about that in humans, because we don't even think about that. But
I think about that every day. You know how many times I walk outside and there's a gun slithering around on my lawn? AK-47 in the bush?
Yeah. Those things are... They'll get you. Don't step on them.
They'll bite you good.
No step on snack. Jason wanted to know, also, do dogs that bury bones find them again by remembering where they buried them? Or is it just they find them using their scent? I'm going to say that they probably use their scent. Because this is another one of those instances where it's not for survival. You think of, like, drug-sniffing dogs. That is... It's not... I mean, they sniff it out.
Okay.
Right?
But... Priming... I mean, I'm kind of like a... Kind of have a dog lab at my house for this kind of stuff. Silas or Finn or Jenner... Jenner especially... will hide his ball outside because it's his ball. It's not anybody else's ball. It's his. And he'll hide it in a hole.
And none of the other dogs can smell it?
If I let him out, he'll do his own thing, like walk around and have fun, whatever. But if I let all the dogs out, he thinks they have an opportunity to find it and steal it. So he'll go and he'll find it immediately.
Yeah.
To protect it.
Huh.
And it could be a day later.
I don't know. That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Your dogs are weird. What do we got next?
Next we've got, what's this one? Actually, you know, I think you should take the next one. I think that's a little bias because I did ask the next question.
Well, do boy animals have memories too? What's next?
Next is Jason.
Yeah.
Which animal has the best short-term memory?
Cats.
And which has the best long-term memory?
Probably humans. I don't know. That's a broad question.
And then same question, but for worst. So again, it's just a myth about goldfish.
Yeah.
Because you could have a coral reef that has the same memory as a goldfish.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Brain coral. One that has a brain.
Alive ones.
They don't have brains still.
Right.
That'd be gross.
Yeah. Long-term memory is a funny thing, and we still got to do like a whole episode. Maybe we'll do it next week. I'll put it up on a poll about like memory regression and stuff like that. What? Oh, I hate you. But the less you use memories, the more you're going to forget it. Like, have you seen Inside Out?
Yeah.
And that really depressing, like, idea that these little balls are, they just disappear once you're not, you don't use them enough.
Yeah.
That's, like, real. If you just don't use your memories, they go away. It's kind of creepy to think about, but it's true. So same goes for animals in long-term
memory. So do you think that there's an actual factual, scientifically accurate...
Actual factual from Berenstain Bears?
Real way. Yeah, he's my favorite. Shout out to Phil.
That's the second time in a week I've given a shout out to Phil on this podcast.
I can't resist it.
Go on.
Are you talking about Phil Gonzalez from...
From Deep Bear Country, Click It Cast, and his Del Toro time, yeah.
Oh, okay. That Phil Gonzalez?
Yep.
So is there a way that you could actually regain those memories?
I don't think so.
Because I know there's that BS regression.
Yeah, which I just want to do a whole episode on that.
We'll do that.
I've wanted to do it for so long.
But I want to know if there's a real way to actually, like... Because there's got to be a moment where it's starting to fade, and then you're like, oh yeah, I did eat pudding in 1992.
Yeah.
And it's back. Like, mm-hmm. for me, I got a memory of strengthened the other day that I could have let slip right through my little phalanges. Mm-hmm. I had a picture I saw from Justine. She posted a...
With your mustache?
No, not even that.
Oh.
So that I can never forget.
Yeah. I won't interrupt you.
It was the 7-Up game on Sega Genesis. You play as the Dot.
Oh, the Cool Spot?
Cool Spot.
Yeah.
And I remember one of my earliest and most vivid memories was playing Cool Spot on Sega Genesis, mm-hmm. while my mom opened the windows in the living room and was cleaning them with Windex. And I remember the sound of the squeaking, like, yeah. and like the sun shining through and the smell of the Windex, and it smelled really clean and nice. And I was on the beach level. And I was like jumping on the docks, and I like got a rush of that memory when I saw a picture that she posted. She was playing that game.
There must be some sort of,
but if
of
she
like...
never posted that, and I waited another 5 years, what if I forgot that forever?
Yeah, I don't know. This happens a lot with when I'm watching cartoons from my other podcast, Limited Cell, where I'll see a clip and I'm like, I have seen that before, but it's easily been like 23 years since I've seen that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but what are you, like 24?
26. Okay. Jerk. Last question here. You want to read that from my brother?
What do pets name their owner?
That's a really good question. And I already told him this. I was like, there's two ways I can go with this. I can answer you seriously, or I can make a joke answer like, Bart.
Yeah, you love that name.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec, though, because yeah. I think that there might actually be pets that name their humans. Don't you think?
So I did some digging, because I was like, do they? Yeah. So... The closest I could get is there are some animals that name or seem to name other members of their species. So, like, parrots will name their kids using sounds. Dolphins appear to have names for each other by having unique sounds for different dolphins.
That's straight up naming them.
Yeah. But I don't think dogs are like, you're Bork and you're Bark and he's Burk.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can think of is, obviously, dogs can learn names for things. Because if you say, go get me a beer out of the fridge, they know what a beer is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I use that as an example. But, so if you're like, you are Bart. I am Greg. Eventually, they could learn your name. But I don't know if they instinctually name you something.
Yeah, well...
So my real answer to this was, what do babies call their mom and dad? Because they don't call them mom and dad. They have this abstract idea. Yeah. They have an abstract idea of who mom and dad are, but they don't have words yet. So they can't, like, in their brain say mom or dad. So I feel like it's the same situation for most animals. They have an abstract idea of owner, but they would never think to give it a name.
Yeah. So sometimes, like, Desiree would say, go see your dad.
Uh-huh.
And the dogs will know it's me and come to me. And beyond that.
Eventually, they learn language. Like, babies learn language.
They're not...
But...
Yeah, they learn language, but they don't create language, because they never needed to create language, because they're visual.
Yeah.
Right? So, even when dogs dream, you know, there's probably not going to be too much language, and it's just going to be, like, you're dreaming in pictures.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with people that have, like, mental...
Well, I was just going to go to, like, blind people.
Yeah.
Like... I've read this on Reddit a lot, where people are like, what do blind people dream of? And they're like, it's an experience. You don't see anything. You hear stuff, you feel stuff, but you don't see anything.
It's the same
thing. You just don't see anything.
If you're deaf, you probably dream visuals.
In pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of
thing. And I'm sure there's outliers.
Yeah, like, of course, the obvious ones are people that became deaf or blind later in life. They might still dream visually or vice versa.
So I remember hearing that autistic people dream more visually than verbally, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
just because it's harder for them to communicate verbally.
Right. And it's much easier, so that's what comes out naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think dogs are the same way, because it is all visual or cues or scent. Mm-hmm. And if you're not moving, you're not changing your experience of scent. Mm-hmm. So you have to dream visually. So I would think that like pets don't need to name you because they, if they're going to think about you, they think about you, what you look like mm-hmm. for 27 seconds.
Yeah. So that's all I got. You got anything else?
Mm-mm.
Should we wrap this up spanking on the bottom?
Don't do that. Not in 2017, Nick.
Sorry. Only if it's consensual.
Thanks. I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.
Hey, episode was... Can I spank you on the bottom? Is that consensual if I do that?
Yes. Santa?
Santa?
It's me, Nick.
What are you doing in my house? It's November.
I just wanted to remind you that everyone dies.
Thanks, bud.